Hey, everybody. Welcome back again to Last Christian. This is our Bible study program that we're having here today. I wanted to just get into some cool stuff about the ark today, and then I got slammed with something about the firmament, too. And that's part of our study here, too. So I don't even know which way I want to go. There's so much. I think, JD, I think we're going to be in this part as long as we were in the first sentence.
Oh,
what do you think? Okay.
Well, looking at just notes, and that's all I've got. Mm-hmm. I got notes. I'm thinking maybe twice as long.
It is fun, you know, because then we got, you know, after this is done, we got to talk about dinosaurs, you know.
Yeah. And a lot of people going to love that.
Use that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what about, where are dinosaurs in the Bible?
I said, well, let's start with the word. It wasn't invented until 1850. And then, so obviously they're in there. Yeah. But anyway, that's for another show. I have my tropical shirt on today.
Yeah. Are you going to Hawaii or something? I mean,
I think I'm going
to. You waited too long. It's almost
Puerto Rico soon. So I figure I'm just going to start to get ready. The funny thing is, all my clothes shrunk.
Yeah. You're going to a tropical destination soon, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to stop eating so I can fit into all my clothes that shrunk.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
All right. So, all right. Before we get too deep in the rabbit hole, could you pray us in?
Sure. Be glad to. Father, we come to you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we're hoping beyond hope that this message will meet those will get out to those individuals that need to hear it the most. And that whatever we teach today, whatever questions that David is able to answer of all my crazy questions, will be something that triggers that last individual, that last person to accept you before the rapture of the church that we look forward to so much. Father, thank you for everything that you have given us and everything that you provided for us, and lead us in this study. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And if you are, in fact, that last Christian, hurry up.
Yeah, hurry up. I'm ready.
It's getting crazy out here. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to fix it all. So that's a beautiful thing.
So amen.
Some people say that, oh, you want to hurry up and you're this and then, oh, what about this? What about I want to get married? What about I want to have kids? I said, that's going to be forever. He said, Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. You know? Oh, I got to go bury my father, all this other stuff.
David, no, I got to tell you, I got to say it. I got to say it. This goes back all the way to 2005, actually January of 2006. Okay. You know what a fan I am of my Texas Longhorns. And mm-hmm. Texas was playing for the national championship in January of 2006. And I was saying, oh, Lord, please, no, not before this. Because I know we haven't won a championship in 30 years, and we're going to win one tonight.
He got the Hail Mary. He's just about to catch it, and then the rapture happens. We have a unique perspective on that because it's like you do realize when he comes back, it's just going to make everything better. So your kid growing up, now he gets to grow up without all these trannies trying to
There you go.
Stuff to him. And without the happy hours at the library.
Right.
He's going to grow up in a good place. And so you should be glad that Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Grow up in the millennium.
I just had to throw that in. But now I'm ready to get down to the study. Let's go.
It was only the one time, Jesus. I repent.
Yes.
Yes, JD. He's like,
JD, that's bread and circus, JD. Bread and circus.
So where do we leave off anyway? Did I talk about the firmament?
No, David, you know, I actually went back and looked at a little bit of our show, and I honestly couldn't figure out exactly where we were compared to where your notes are and everything else. You kind of bounced around a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, because it all fits together, so you got to kind of, you know, tag them. It's like you're putting a puzzle together, you know. Sometimes you're putting the tree together over here, but all of a sudden you find the top right corner.
Yeah.
And you're like,
there you go.
Well, I got to put that in.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be upset if we duplicate a little bit of something here. So, you know, you just go for it however you want to.
On the firmament, too.
Yeah.
Remember Bugs Bunny, and he's giving the monster a perm? Because you need a firmament.
Okay.
So now I say that all the time with the firmament. The firmament.
Firmament. Okay.
Firmament. Oh, but the firmament, everyone talked about the firmament. And the flurfs, that's flat earthers for you who are not familiar with the proper terminology. The flurfs are, they're like, oh, there's a canopy over the earth and this and that and the other. Well, not necessarily. Now, I agree there was a canopy when it first started, because that's literally what the Bible says. But I wanted to, let's paint the picture of this firmament.
Okay.
And so it says there, and God made the firmament in Genesis 1:7, and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. Okay? Mm-hmm. So... and then they say, well, it's made of water. Well, no, it says it divided the waters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's that. So we have to put in there. So he separated the waters from the waters. And then if we look at the heaven, the word heaven is shamayim or shamayim. And it literally, if you spell out the letters, shin is like the teeth, so it means to separate, and mem is water, and then yod is like a work of your hands, and then water again, shamayim.
Okay,
so it literally means, the heavens literally means to separate the water from the water in the Hebrew letters.
Okay,
and that's what we call the heavens. All right, so some people, we get this imagination of, in English, it doesn't really translate too well. I guess in the Greek too, because Paul talked about the third heaven, but the heavens, there's a couple, there's the prince of the power of the air. You see that. And that's, that's one heavens, because he separated the water from the water, but then there's the outer heavens too. And I would assume that there are three, because Paul said the third heaven. So there's gotta be at least three.
Okay. Okay.
And I haven't heard any others. And so, and so it says in verse 8 here, God called the firmament heaven or shamayim. So the firmament is the separation of the water from the water. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Now I'm just looking at your notes, and
okay,
I'm looking at the Hebrew word, basically translates into atmosphere. So could that be what we're talking about here, that, you know, the atmosphere?
It could. They do translate it as that, but similar to where it says evening and morning were the first day, it says Eber and Boker. And it literally means it was chaos into order. And it just, it by euphemism, it just became to be known as evening and morning.
Okay.
So it wasn't evening and morning at first. It says everything was from chaos to order. So we have that same kind of an idea. We see the firmament, and it just came to be made euphemistically, if that's a word, became known as that place between them all. But originally the word is rakia, and it's pretty cool. It's an expanse.
Okay.
But it comes from another word, okay? The other word is raka. So rakia and then raka. So raka and then rakia is something that has been rakad, okay? Mm-hmm. And raka is basically to pound out, by analogy, by hammering out, by implication, to overlay. So it's it has the... like when you overlay with thin sheets of metal, that is what the word means. Raka means you're going to like put a coating over this thing. You're going to hammer out as something in thin sheets of metal. So that's really interesting. You're going to pound this out. So that's what he did. He pounded out this thin sheet of metal over the planet. Well, what do you mean a thin sheet of metal? Well, we're going to get into that. It's going to be pretty cool.
Okay.
Because it's clearly not a thin sheet of metal above us right now.
Yeah, and you already mentioned that this Rakia, again, another translation here is the expanse. So can you
correct kind of because go into of the that? Idea of pounding it out?
Okay.
Now, okay, since I pounded it all out, hey, this is a big, it's expanse. See, I made this thing, I pounded it out. Look at this big thing I got. Okay. So by euphemism, it's like now it becomes the expanse. Okay. So we do have both of those possibilities, but I think God is very specific in how he did it. And so there's a couple things that could fit into the narrative here, and we're going to get into some quantum mechanics as well.
Okay.
Who doesn't love quantum mechanics? Another thing that was a euphemism is the water. The mem is the water, and it looks like an M, okay, because it implies waves. That's why the mem looks like that, because it implies the waves of the water.
Okay.
And that's, so it creates that word picture for us.
Okay.
But in the ancient thought, it could also mean the plasma state.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it could be that altered state of matter that is beyond the gas, and they claim that as well, and they didn't call it plasma like we call it in English today, but they knew there was something beyond the three states of matter that we're familiar with.
You ready for my first crazy question?
Yeah, go ahead. I knew it was coming.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're talking about this plasma thing, and we went over that previously, weeks ago, in regard to the Garden of Eden. And you were talking about how there could be maybe a plasma field or something there. You know, we were talking about people not being able to get back in to the Garden of Eden yet.
And then the flaming sword was protecting them too.
So it sounds to me like, okay, I'm looking at this from complete, probably a crazy perspective, but I'm looking at it as that being a blocker, basically keeping you from getting into the Garden of Eden. It's something you can't get through it. And here we got another plasma thing up here that's keeping the water from falling or whatever. I mean, you know, that's what I'm, my limited ability to understand this stuff, that's where I'm at.
Well, remember, the heavens and the earth were one, because the first sentence says, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and void, and then he said, let there be light. So, but the, remember, when we read the first word, which is Bereshit, the letters in Bereshit spell out that, you know, the Son of God the Father will be destroyed by the work of his own hands on the cross.
Right.
And it literally says in the seven words of that sentence, you know, in the first sentence in English, but in Hebrew there's seven words in there. It's Bereshit bara et Elohim. And then Hashamayim and of Be'et Eret, I think. Don't quote me. I'm getting better. But basically, it says on the fourth day, we got the Aleph Tav comes, which he did. The Alpha and Omega came on the fourth, because that's the fourth word. But he also comes again on the sixth word.
Yeah.
And on the sixth word, there's a Vav in there. So it connects the two thoughts. And there's the heavens and earth. So when he comes back again the second time, he's literally going to be connecting heaven and earth again. And I think this has something to do with it, with the plasma fields and then the plasma sword that was in front of the garden. Well, he had to separate that, because plasma, when you're in that next state of matter, you become outside of time-space continuum to a point. I don't know if that reaches it at plasma or not, but...
Well, we can, you know, plasma, David, I remember,
but we're approaching it at least.
I remember something in again, I can't quote you the book or anything, but where it says that the sky basically rolls back.
Yes.
Okay. Well, c- could this be that same thing? I mean, what, you know, we're looking at, you
there
know,
has to be the, another dimension, yes.
As in the days of Noah, and, you know, he rolls back the sky or whatever you want to call it, the once
the rocks,
with Noah, and he does it again later on, you know, because we are in, as in the days of Noah. Does that make sense at all, what I just said?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So because we're going to see the same things happening, now this whole firmament that essentially collapsed, and did it collapse in the extra molecular level? Because plasma is like, it basically, when you get into the quantum level, that there's no time and space. So I think that's the separation. Now you can't go there yet, because then you'll be stuck in eternity. So we got to fix this. But then when he comes back, he'll connect them back together again. And we see that picture a lot, where the sky will roll up. Well, what does it roll into? There has to be another dimension.
Yeah. There
so
you
if
go.
Okay. Three dimensions that the sky's in, well, there has to be at least a fourth one, and then a fifth one, because, you know, we got time. It's got, you got to roll it up into something.
Right.
Just like if you have two dimensions, it's flat. If you roll it up, it becomes three.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Now we need another dimension for it to roll into.
Yeah. And science is already, like, for you people out there that think we're nuts, science has already said, you know, earthly science has already said that there are extra dimensions that we really don't know how to deal with right now.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with them. And Nachmanides figured that out in the 13th century, right? Just from reading Genesis. He says there's about 10 dimensions, and we spend gazillions of dollars in the 20th century. He says, hey, we think there's 10 dimensions. Yeah, duh. And then they're like, oh, it's string theory. And, you know, they got all this other stuff that they
now,
call
one
it.
Thing like, I do remember where we kind of left off last week is we were talking about the earth cracking like an egg, popping open. Okay. So that was the last thing that we were talking about last week. If that gives you any idea where we were, or where you want to go from there.
Oh, good. So, and that would do a number of things. So let's finish up on the firmament.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about how the cracking kind of fixed that too. So you got a few possibilities with the firmament.
Okay.
Some say that it's like a water vapor. Okay. And that it was, you know, basically like compressed clouds above the earth. It was just a water vapor thing, which is a really good postulation. But you got to remember, it's really cold out there too. So a similar one is that it was an actual hard canopy, but it was made of ice.
Okay.
Which is still water. Okay. And let's talk about the ice one first. And then we could talk about the water vapor, and then we can see how the two of them actually have a lot of similar properties. But I think the ice one has a little more properties because of the word raka, which literally means to hammer out in thin metal sheets.
Okay.
And when you're way up there, it's basically, I think it's minus 373 degrees Kelvin, which is like 2 degrees above no heat at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's cold.
Yeah, sounds
and
like it.
Yeah. And so you got the super cooled hydrogen, because there's a lot of hydrogen up there. But when you super cool hydrogen and you compress it inside of like an ice layer, it literally takes on metallic properties. It becomes magnetic.
Okay.
And it can transpose electro fields. So now you have this cool thing happening. So check this out. You ever wonder, how do people live 900 years? Well, because they're supposed to die within 1,000. But, okay, it was designed to live forever. But then sin kind of killed us off.
Right.
So they only live 900 and change. But the idea here is we can't live that long now. And why is that? Well, when you had that canopy over the earth, let's say it was ice. Look at all the things that fit this together. The air is compressed. So now it can compress air into your cells. So now you have more oxygen going into your cells.
Okay.
You'll heal faster and you won't age as fast.
Okay.
So that's good. Now you can have these giant dinosaurs that we see all over the place because there's a lot more air and oxygen. They can't live today because the atmosphere is too thin. So now we have proof of dinosaurs, or proof that dinosaurs could survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we have the landmass, what they call Pangaea, millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. No, it was together before the flood. All the water was beneath there, but then hell had to expand itself. Read that in the Bible. Hell expanded itself. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he had to put all these Nephilim in the middle of the
mm-hmm.
earth,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which is Hades. So he had to expand that to fit these people. So the earth cracked, and that's the ring of fire we're talking about, so it can expand. Mm-hmm. And then all that water came out because there has to be this abyss, abuso, in the center. Mm-hmm. So now the water's on the surface. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they say there's much, much, much more water underneath the crust now. They finally figured it out than there is on the surface even now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that water came out. So if you crack the earth and then that water pressure is forced out, that's going to go up. Right. And it's hot because it's in the center of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to melt the canopy.
Yeah. And then
that's why it rained and flooded the whole earth for 40 days.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
When have you ever seen it rain for 40 days?
Never. Yeah. And God said it'll never do it again, too. Yeah, never do it again.
Yeah, it won't. Mm-hmm. So where did all that water come from? So that's where people, where'd you get 40 days of water? It's clouds, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you know where. Because there was most likely an ice, but could possibly be just water vapors too that were like condensed at that point. But if it's super cold up there to begin with, the hot water coming up.
I like your theory of it being an ice level up here and superheated on the bottom. The pop.
Yeah, the fountain. It says right there in Genesis 6, the fountains of the deep broke.
Yeah.
And then the windows of heaven were opened.
So if you got massive heat going up, because, you know, you were saying, you know, it's basically 2 degrees above.
Nothing.
Yeah. You got all that going up there, hitting that ice shield. That's going to melt instantly. I mean, you know, but it might take it 40 days to get done. You know,
takes a while to come down.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. And then it had to all settle. Mm-hmm. And then the earth, the plates moving around had to squish up some land, so it came above it.
Yeah.
And all sorts of fun things. Mm. So now we have that picture. So that answers that question. Well, what about the Ring of Fire? It just looks like a crack, you know, in the Mariana Trench. It's because the earth cracked. So things sunk into it as everything shot out. Yeah. Also, that also would explain the meteors that we see that are all over the place. Where'd they come from? The Oort cloud. There's no evidence of an Oort cloud, people. None. They made it up because they don't know where the meteors are coming from, and they didn't want to admit there was a flood.
Right.
Yeah, because when the earth cracked, all sorts of rocks went out into space.
Yeah, it would have to. Yeah, it would have to. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we see all the pockmarks on the moon, and that's why we see the pockmarks on Mars, because it was probably Mars coming close to the earth because of their cross paths on the orbit, and it did that a lot. Okay, now we're kind of resonant now because it kind of evened out. But before, they would literally cross paths. And you would see them. And then Mars coming by would be that time clock that God said, that, hey, this is for, you know, for times and seasons. Okay, well, it's time for judgment. So Mars comes by just right on time. Mm-hmm. And then that causes the crack in the earth. And then that's why all the pockmarks, 80% of the craters on Mars are on one side. Mm-hmm. And they happen within a half hour.
Yeah, and that's according to science.
Yeah. And so, you know, it didn't happen over millions of years. And that explains it thoroughly right there, if that's exactly what happened. We also see the vibrations most likely destroyed that planet that was between Mars and Jupiter. We got an asteroid belt there right now. Don't know what it looked like, but the asteroid belt is in the exact position. If you would line up the planets and say, okay, this one to mathematically, this one to mathematically, this one. Oh, where's the planet here? It's an asteroid
mentioned
belt.
That, yeah, you mentioned that last week, and I don't want to get you too much off topic here, but what is that? I mean, you said it's there's a planet that should be there that's not. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because
like when you measure out the planets, they're actually measured out quite equidistantly, you know, in a logarithmic form.
Okay.
And there should be a planet right where that asteroid belt is.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there isn't. It's an asteroid belt.
Okay.
Which and then tells me that that planet got shaken up.
So after that asteroid belt, then there's more planet. There's another planet, and there's a planet after that.
Well, there's Jupiter, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that, so it's right in the exact spot.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the meteors can come from that planet, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So that's a possibility. Because it busted them all up, and maybe, you know, some of them were thrown out of orbit, and now they're all kajenki.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't, asteroids were not around millions of years, folks. They can calculate when they're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They can say, oh, this is going to last another 500 years. Well, how come it was around for millions of years, and then all of a sudden it's going to last 500 years? It would have died out millions of years ago.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that.
Because they can calculate the rate of burn-off.
Mm-hmm.
So a young Earth and all this stuff absolutely answers all these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And then it's, in the second half, we'll get into some other stuff. But basically, that Earth cracking, the vibrations that it felt shook up that planet. It pockmarked Mars, pockmarked the moon,
mm-hmm.
crap flying all over space,
mm-hmm.
made all the canopy melt in, and then separated the Earth. It was most likely it was all one big Earth thing, and it wasn't like an ocean as we think of it today, just mm-hmm. a lot of bodies of water for us to use.
Yeah.
But now it's mostly ocean because of all that water.
Mm-hmm.
People say, where'd all the water go? It's still there. Hello? Look at the ocean. A lot of water. It's 7 miles deep, folks. That's a lot of water.
Yeah, I remember President Kennedy, a movie I saw anyway, PT-109, you know, people riding mm-hmm. along on the boat, and they said, oh, man, look at all this water. And he just said, well, that's just the top of it. And then that's when it hit me. You know, that is so deep. And, you know, there's parts of the ocean we've never even touched yet.
Well, we implode like that person looking for the Titanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In either case, before we implode on the show, so if we don't catch up in the second half because of the rapture, you hurry up and receive Christ if you haven't already. If
Amen.
Not, stick around because we are going to get into some really fascinating info. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of conjecture, but it's highly educated conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to stick around and at least examine it, and don't just get your bias hat on because you've been taught something in your lame church for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
But glory to God, he is coming back, and a lot of these things are going to happen again. And Lord willing, if we're here, we'll see you in the second half and explain it. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
Well, look at that. We made it back. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We are here.
Yay. So we were talking about the whole canopy being melted and all. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my go-to thing for that. And you wouldn't believe how much grief I get for that sometimes, you know, and it's a lot. But the flurfs think it's there now. Mm. Like, oh, there's a canopy right now. Like this is, you know, we're in a big snow globe and it's like, not right now. Now, mind you, he's going to do that again because when the millennium comes, people are going to live right through the millennium. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to do that? Well, he's going to restore the earth, you know?
Yeah.
So Jesus is going to come back. And, you know, Jesus is this, you know, immense electromagnetic pulse because he's the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. And he's just, and he's basically going to purify the whole earth again and set it back into motion the way it was. Mm-hmm. And then reset our DNA, by the way, as well. So people will be huge again. And now us as the bride of Christ will rule and reign with him in our new bodies, which will never die. Those are going to be exciting. I wonder how tall we're going to be.
I don't know.
You're pretty tall to start. So
yeah,
well, but I mean,
that's okay.
Maybe 8 feet.
I don't know. That'd be cool. I'd like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Some surmise that Adam was actually about 15 feet tall.
Really? Oh, but, okay. Huh. I can believe it. I can believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disprove that, but I can't prove it either. But I know he's got to be at least 8 feet.
Yeah, he's got. I mean, you get back to Adam and Eve. I don't want to get us off too much here, but you get back to Adam and Eve, and you got the perfect man and the perfect woman. I mean,
yeah,
you know, my gracious. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, imagine.
That's it.
Yep. So that'd be cool. And we got him as they got a picture of this weak, lily-livered guy over there. You know. Anyway.
Right,
it's a lot different. So, so here we go. We're in the firmament again. So here's this. So let's imagine this ice globe around the globe that we have, because it obviously can't be like a snow dome where it's flat and then it's over the top, because it just wouldn't work. Okay, how would gravity work? You'd be everybody go into the center of this thing,
right?
Because gravity doesn't go down from a flat pancake; it goes to the center of mass. So that would do a lot of things. The entire Earth would be like a greenhouse, so it'd be basically tropical weather on the North Pole and the South Pole. Well, lo and behold, what do we find? We find animals all over the North Pole and the South Pole and all this tropical vegetation, including a woolly mammoth who was quite a few of them, actually, who were quick frozen. Can you imagine quick freezing a woolly mammoth?
Well, yeah, that's
literally while it's still chewing stuff.
Yeah, that's incredible. But it's also factual. That's been proven.
They found it. They found a bunch of them. They don't know what to do with it. I'll tell you what to do with it. Here's what happened. The earth cracks. Thing comes up, the water melts, all of a sudden your greenhouse is gone, and instantly all that heat goes into space. Okay, so now it dissipates, and now you got a quick freeze situation. I mean, it's as simple as that. And then that caused, because of the, that's what caused what we have, we call it a mini ice age, but it was, you know, it was ice age, so it kind of went, it pendulum from, okay, now it's going to go to the ice age and then go back. And now we're somewhere around here where we're at the end of the spin cycle for the earth. But let's go back to the canopy. So that's what the canopy would do, is allow for all of that stuff that we see. It would also allow, because a lot of you know, atheists who aren't that bright will say, "Oh, how did the kangaroos get to Australia?" Well, all the land masses were together at once, people.
Right.
Okay. So when they spread out, if you read your Bible, it says in the days of Peleg, the land was divided. Mm-hmm. And that has, it's a euphemism for a couple of things. Number one, the people were divided, but the land was also divided as well. Because God told them it spread out around on the whole earth. And they're like, "Nah, we're going to build this tower in Babylon, and we're going to make it like unto the heavens."
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "That's not what I told you to do. I told you to don't."
Right.
"Don't do that." So he busted up the languages. Apparently there was 70 of them. And then he says, "I'm going to bust up your language. I'm going to put you under the lands, and then I'm going to separate the lands."
Yeah.
So that's what we see happening. All the lands fit together. You know that. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. So he separated them. But with that, he had a specific set of animals to go in each one. And then, you know, they all morphed into what they morphed into today. Mm-hmm. So cats became big cats, little cats, you know, red cats, black cats, all sorts of different cats.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're all cats. Okay. Dogs, the same thing. You know, they have wolves, and then it came to dogs. And then I don't know if you can consider a chihuahua a dog, more like a rat.
I got one.
Okay.
Got a little bitty one here.
All right.
He thinks he owns the place. Yeah. Okay.
Well, do you ever see those balls you can put them in and they run around? You should get them like a hamster ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Rico wouldn't fit in one of those, but he'd fit in one that was like a basketball
size. Well, they make bigger ones, and you can just get them and just say, "That's what you get. Stop yapping."
That'd drive him nuts.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Chihuahuas are not dogs. As a matter of fact, I think they were banned, and they snuck in on the ark.
Oh,
Noah's like, "No." I was like, "No, you got to bring him in. Come on, just two.
He's a rescue dog, okay? He's special.
He's a rescue, okay? Maybe that's what Noah's was. It was a rescue dog from back then.
Love it.
Sorry. Hey, you know the difference between dogs and cats?
What?
Well, here's what you do. If you go get a dog, what you do is you love on them, and then you treat them like that. They're part of the family. They got a house to live in. They got all the food they want. They got a warm bed to sleep in.
Yep.
And they're well taken care of. And they just look at you as like your God.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like, adoringly. Ah, I love you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you get a cat, and you bring him into the family. He takes over. He's sleeping in a warm place. He's got all the food he wants.
Yep.
He's well taken care of. And then he thinks he's God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, yeah. Entitled.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I agree with that one 100%. Yeah, I agree with that one 100%.
There you go. The difference between dogs and cats. I think that was put in on the ark as well. But where were we going? Oh, well, so everything was separated, but that would be answered by the canopy. Why was all this, everything was basically tropical at one point. Mm-hmm. Would also answer the question why we have all these civilizations underwater, because the land was all above the water. The water was, imagine all the water in the sky. Take this ocean and bring it up to the sky. How much more land would you have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then some of the stuff that was in the earth that came out. Okay. You got that. You put that away. So there's so much more earth than there is today. And you could basically fit 8 billion people in New York City. Mm-hmm. And so we're not crowded at all. Imagine how much room there was on it if we had twice as much land mass.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was all habitable, like the size of the United States, the Sahara Desert. Mm. It's the size of the United States. Imagine making that habitable land.
Yeah.
They found whales there, too, by the way,
in
the Sahara. And they can't figure out why. Millions of years ago, this was an ocean. No, it was a flood over everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a flood.
Well, David, I'm again, looking at your notes here. We're talking about a canopy, but now there are some that are saying that that's not a good thing. Yeah, I mean, this is in your notes that I'm going by here.
Mm-hmm.
Some speculated that this is not the correct theory.
Right. I got to put opposing theories in there, even if they are wrong.
Okay. So now you are an advocate for the canopy theory, as I understand it.
Yes.
And from what you told me,
one of two things. I'm going to talk about the other ones in a minute.
Okay. Because from what you've told me, I agree with you, but I was just interested in whether or not you're going to explain all this other stuff.
I am. There's other two possibilities, but I heavily lean towards this one.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. The first one is very similar. It's instead of ice, it's a vapor canopy.
Okay.
And it would do a lot of the same thing. So just imagine instead of ice, it's vapor, but pretty much all the same stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And that is a possibility, but I kind of lean towards that because it does say rakia. It literally stems from hammered out like thin metal sheets.
Yeah. Good point. Okay.
And that's my main thing. But it says that the water, there's a mist came up from the ground because it didn't rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're in a terrarium, it wouldn't rain like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would have that. Right now we have this different atmosphere. So now we have the clouds and you got a couple of things here. It does say that it did not rain before the flood, but a mist went up from the ground. Okay. And that would answer the question of why was there no rainbow before the flood?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because there were no clouds.
Right.
And there was no water vapor mist in the air, such as we know as clouds today, that shine through. So the change in the whole ecosystem would facilitate for a rainbow, which was not there before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that makes sense. Now, if you have the canopy, it's going to do a couple of things. In addition to compressing the air so we can have dinosaurs live longer and pterodactyls could fly, because they can't fly in today's atmosphere. They're too big and they can't get enough air underneath their wings, so to speak. The canopy would filter out all the shortwave radiation. That makes sense?
Yes.
So now all the damaging radiation that we get now from the sun would have been filtered out because of the canopy. So that's why we can live longer, because we're not damaged by radiation.
Okay.
Now, what does it do with that radiation?
Hold on a second. I'm going back to last week. Going back to last week, because I withheld a question. Do you remember this? I withheld a question, and we decided that I should have asked it. And it's about that 120 years thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember exactly what sparked the question, but 120 years, and you were calculating that out. Do you remember where I was going with that? Because I don't. But
we had a few different things. So let's touch on that for a second, then we'll get back. If we missed the firmament, we'll go back next week.
Okay.
It's still going to be there.
Okay.
The 120 years, he said, I will not deal with man anymore for and they got 120 years left, basically. I shall not strive with mankind. His days shall be yet 120 years.
Right.
And I am of the opinion that the Bible is types and patterns. So it's not just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it specifically says that there'll be 120 years left and then the flood's going to come because it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Noah, by the time he got Noah to start building the ark, he had 100 years and then he preached. And that is because of all the Nephilim and what they were doing to humans. And then the humans, like, yay, Nephilims, and their thoughts were evil continually. It's just everything got worse and worse.
So we got 120 years. We got 120 years there. But then what I was talking about was 120 years from the time that Israel became a country.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That's number three.
Yeah, I remember. Oh,
actually, that's number four.
I remember that.
Anyway, so you got 120 years left, which is what he talked about. Then there's those, well, now our lifespan, I don't know anyone to live past 120 years after this.
Right.
Like after it came down. I think we get into like Joseph in that time period. He was 110. I think right after that, no one's quite made it that far. Even King David was only 80. Mm-hmm. And then so Moses was like 120, 400 years after Joseph. But then he took them out. So all those people, they lived there, and now it's just getting worse and worse. So there's that. Maybe locked out our time span at 120.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, because he did that with Moses. Then also 120 jubilees would be 6,000 years. Mm-hmm. 120 times 50.
Mm-hmm.
And we just entered the last jubilee. So we're mm-hmm. in the, well, we're finishing, this year is finishing up the jubilee.
Okay.
Of the 119th jubilee. So mm-hmm. next year starts the 120th jubilee, and at the end of that is 6,000 years in 2075.
Which means that the rapture's got to happen within this time frame.
Correct. We are in the relay race mm-hmm. section of the time switch.
Right. Okay.
So a lot of things are going to happen.
Okay.
All right. And he can hand off the baton in the beginning or mm-hmm. at the end. We don't know. That's why he said you better watch.
I'm sorry to take you out of that, but that just recurred to me. And so I wanted to get that cleared up. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Yep. So we're actually in the Jubilee year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are surmising this is why we're seeing a lot of restoration of things
yeah.
around the world and a lot of, a lot of chaos against it. So the devil's trying to stop the Jubilee from happening,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is interesting. I just wonder what happened in 75. I got to go back and look. 1975. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
yeah.
I digress. The next thing we had found out that in 1948, right,
mm-hmm.
was the rebirth of Israel.
Right.
And if you add 120 to that, that is 2068,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly 7 years from the end of the age, which is 2075,
mm-hmm.
which is absolutely astonishing. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I caught you with that one last week, and you thought about
yeah.
it. I mean, this was after we got off the show. I said, here's what I was going to ask. And you looked completely dumbfounded when I came up with that question.
Yeah, because like, we started adding the numbers, you and I remember, and they're like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. 120 plus uh-huh. the seven-year tribulation.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
it basically brings that 120 years from Israel being a nation, brings them to the and it's right in the beginning of the year, too. It was mm-hmm. like May 14th. So it's like yeah. right. I got to check the calendar back then because it shifts around on our calendar. And then it's exactly 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it enters into that final week mm-hmm. for Israel of Daniel chapter 9.
Yeah.
Which is yeah. a different time frame, really.
Yeah. And so for you people out there that are saying, okay, well, that proves the rapture can't happen before. No, it doesn't, because there's nowhere in the Bible does it say that when the rapture happens, that the tribulation immediately starts. It doesn't ever say
right.
that anywhere.
It doesn't make any sense to immediately start. There would
right.
have to be a sense of chaos and mayhem mm-hmm. for a while.
Right.
Don't know how long, but for mm-hmm. some time. In order for the entire world to come together and say, yes, we need a world leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have that pendulum swing, too. There's going to be all this chaos,
mm-hmm.
right? And then all of a sudden, people will kind of come back and it'll go like this and this. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to that point where, okay, we're done again. We need this world leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it will shift back and forth over that time period. I don't know how long that is. But there are some different dates. Even the days for the tribulation, mm-hmm. And then it goes to 1,260 days. And I was like, where'd all these extra days come from? 1,290 days. Well, no, there's more days. Who's adding all these days?
The important thing here is the rapture can happen at any time. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, you need to get it done because, mm-hmm. as we said, it can happen anytime. And if you don't go with us, then you got some bad times coming. That's about all I can tell you mm-hmm. about that. And on top of that, if you still deny Jesus, and the Bible says you will, that you'll be blinded to the truth, then you're going to end up in front of the great white throne, and you're going to go to hell for eternity. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's exactly what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, so be in a lake of fire.
Yeah, not so pretty. You had better accept Jesus Christ now. All you got to do is say, Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your son, and I want to follow you all the rest of the days of my life, and then mean it, and you'll be all right. But, you know, you need to get it done. I mean, and not lighten up. I mean, you can't say you did it and not do it. You know, I mean, you gotta mean it is what I'm getting at. Okay, David, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, we got to get that out there. And that's sad. And I see people that they're trying to explain, oh, God's a myth and this and that. I say, well, explain that at the throne. Mm-hmm. You go tell him he's a myth.
Yeah.
See how that pans out for you.
See how that works.
And we'll be
out
up there. We got thrones too. Yeah, the 24 elders have thrones. Mm-hmm. You know that, right? And we'll be like, and because he needs a council, just like Psalm 82, he needs a mm-hmm. council. The other guys, they dropped off. And they're like, hey, these guys are no good anymore. So now mm-hmm. we're the council mm-hmm. of God. We rule and reign with him, and we judge with him. And we'll be like, nah, I remember
get
that guy on Facebook. Nah. Did he repent? No. No, sorry, bud. You're out. I told you on Facebook.
Right.
Now,
right.
Here we are. I'm at the throne. You got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See ya. Wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know if that'll be sad for us at that time. It'll be hurtful, be joyful. I know it hurts Jesus. But at that time, he comes as the judge. That's going to be interesting. How are we going to feel when we're sending these people off to oblivion?
Yeah, that is an interesting
question. I don't
know. That is a very interesting question. I don't know the answer either. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's shielding us from that because it's too much for us to handle right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the firmament then, because that's easy. This is cake. Firmament's cake. So now we're filtering out all the ultraviolet rays, so it now our bodies can last longer. We got twice as much oxygen, which has more pressure. And that's forced into our cells. We heal faster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the electromagnetic field around the Earth, because remember, it's metallic, so it's got metallic properties. Mm-hmm. All these rays that it's blocking are recharging the electromagnetic field around the Earth, which right now, that has a half-life of about 1,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
That means every 1,500 years, it's half of what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's decaying and we can't live. They've proven when they go out into the space capsule up there, mm-hmm. they can't stay out there that long. That's why Elon had to go get them because mm-hmm. no electromagnetic field. Your cells start to fall apart, basically.
Well, from what
that's
I
why they
heard,
couldn't walk when they came back.
Yeah, what I heard is that, and I don't remember the calculation, David, but it's for every certain amount of days or whatever, they actually lose bone density, and mm-hmm. you know, and that, you know, that has a lot to do with it. So that's just, I'm just adding on to what you said there. There is a deterioration of the human body being in a mm-hmm. zero gravity state.
Yeah, and electromagnetic field on air, mm-hmm. like all sorts of stuff. Yeah. He designed mm-hmm. it perfectly. So mm-hmm. back then, it would recharge itself. So it'd be like, hey, this is great. You know, mm-hmm. it's just going to continually recharge.
Mm-hmm.
But let's add a couple things. I got 5 minutes left. I'm going to try and get all this in.
Okay.
All right. It says the trees sing, right? And they clap their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got all the stars out there. You know, they measured the stars and the vibrations coming off the stars. And if you transpose that, it plays what seems to be a classical music piece.
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
So all the stars are literally singing his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine this canopy above the earth, which captures those vibrations and magnifies them like a big speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now all around you all day long is nothing but the glory of God being sung by the stars.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
And then now it's going to vibrate into the trees. Now the trees are singing. Mm-hmm. And that's going to vibrate down into the earth, into the roots, and that's going to vibrate the water, which is going to filter the water up because it's vibrating. And now we have the mist coming up from the mm-hmm. ground, watering the whole face of the earth.
Yeah.
Again. It's a perfect system.
Makes sense, too. Yeah.
It just fits. It just fits.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're seeing all these things that are out there, and we're like, how did this happen? How did that happen? And then this explains it. If there's this canopy, it explains every single one of those questions you have. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. In a simple way. But people are like, oh, no, I can't think of that. So, no, it didn't happen. Well, you don't know. You weren't there.
Right.
Okay. But according to the Bible and all those things we could see, this makes the most sense.
Yes.
It does make sense. Possible that it was a vapor canopy as well. Mm-hmm. And it had similar stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was similar things with the vapor canopy, the similar idea. But there's another one, and it could be the both and effect going on here again.
Okay.
That the that water could also, because by euphemism, it means the water that we have here. But it could also refer to, in the Hebrew, like the plasma state. Mm-hmm. So now we have this stuff called dark matter.
Okay.
Right? And no one, we don't know what it is. It's just dark matter. But we know it's there. We just can't see it. Oh, okay. One of those again. Could it be that that's plasma? Mm. And that's the water that he's talking about that's way above. So now you'll have those three levels of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and God is way out there in the throne world. And even though it's in the spiritual, it's way out there. Now we think of it in distance, but for in the spirit world, there's no distance. Okay. So it's all like here together.
Right.
And it's infinite. That's pretty wild. So it could possibly refer to, in addition to this canopy, a plasma level that's on the outer edges of the universe. And that's doing the same thing. That's, you know, a similar in keeping this universe stable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Just keeping a nice balance.
I still like the canopy therapy better. I still like that one.
Yeah, it's the best. And I think it might be a combination of both of them. It might be the plasma as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when Hubble's the telescope, they don't tell you this. They don't publish this much. But Hubble's telescope found concentric layers of spheres. And there's seven of them.
Wow. Okay.
In the universe. In other words, the stars just aren't randomly thrown out there like you would throw marbles on a table. Okay. They're literally, okay, here's ours. Mm-hmm. And then here is another sphere of galaxies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then there's a space. And then there's another sphere of galaxies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then a space.
Oh, gotcha.
And there's seven concentric spheres.
And seven
and they're
is
like,
the perfect
no,
number.
We can't tell anyone that because that would disprove evolution. Mm-hmm. So they don't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we got. We got to tell people, listen, if you want to be in the third heaven and come and meet Jesus with us, you just got to accept the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he created all this stuff. And what's really cool, JD, is he did all this stuff in 6 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stars were easy. He's like, yeah, there's stars out there too. So he did all this stuff we're talking about now with the stars. The life was a little more intricate. So he's like, okay, we'll do the plants, and we'll do the animals, and we'll do man, and then we'll do the fish and the birds. Mm-hmm. We'll like separate them out a little bit, a little more difficult. But the stars he had are easy. Okay. And then, but the biggest part was Jesus himself, to God to become a man in order to redeem us.
Amen.
Redeem the earth and now rebuild all this to the way it should have been. And you want to be on his side. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want to be with him. So if you have not received him yet, I highly encourage you to do so. If you have, then you need to get on your knees and praise him for all his glory. And go read Psalm 19 again. It talks about the glory of God and how it speaks about his creation, and specifically the Son of Man. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. Have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.